Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Welcome to the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Dano, and with me, celebrating the fact that there's no more buyers, is Paddo. Welcome, Paddo.
Yes, hello, Dano. Hello, listeners. Yes, the buyers are gone, and I need Clayton Oliver to be gone with them. I cannot do it anymore.
Yeah, I opted out early.
I shouldn't have opted in.
Yeah, I really, no one should have opted in, but hey, it's Clary. Anyway, we'll move on from Clary as I'm about to cough. Bear with me. Oh, quickly muted the mic there. Group winner, Paddo, who was it? And what did they score?
It was Vinny again with Vinny's team, Plunk Ball, scored 2,233, which is massive. Also a Clayton Oliver owner, but he's good enough, or his team is good enough, to not have that in his 18th. So nice. I'm jealous. Well done, Vinny. had the VC on Grundy and took it, which I think's like, you see a lot of higher scores for the round, but you got to take something like that. Yeah, same. But no, the defense is nice. Maybe back to an old nickname for old Luke Ryan, but we'll get to that. Harry Sheasel, Nick Martin, Lockie Whitfield, and Jeremy McGovern in defense. So that's really nice. But the midfield, Dono, if we take away the fucking redheaded spud, we've got Davies Uniac, Zach Merritt, Caleb Sarong, Zach Butters, Sam Walsh, Tom Green. Bang, 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 fucking bang. That is a massive midfield. And did really well, and that was without Bontempelli as well, who, of course, had the bye. Gaundy in ruck, which can't go wrong. Flanders, Heaney, Zorko up forward, of course, but Fisher and Simpkin as well up in that forward line. So I want to say kind of a stock standard team, but obviously it's a very strong team, and that's why Vinny is ranked 1,078, and I'm about 10,000 spots behind him.
Yeah, with that fucking guy that you were talking about, the one, I'll just say it, Luke Ryan. He has not scored over 100 for me yet, and I've only owned him for two rounds.
So there's I was going to mention this later when we talk about defense primos, but may as well jump into it now. So there's actually been a bit of a change in. I don't want to say role because they're still playing that defensive role, but the game plan has changed. They're not doing all that chip mark stuff. And he actually came out and apparently showed video. This is Longmire, obviously. Showed video of people stat padding, or what he thought was stat padding, and chipping it around and getting cheap kicks. And we all know who was probably shown on video. And we've seen Luke Ryan go from double-digit marks most games this year to the last two games, he's had 11 combined. So he's had 5 and 6 marks. And it's meant a huge reduction in kicks as well. His kicks have pretty much halved in that time. So his disposals are obviously way, way down. He's been getting a little bit of attention as well. So that has sort of compounded the issue. The matchup this week isn't actually too bad. I know they play the best team in the comp, and beating them isn't for everyone. Just want to put that out there. But the Sydney matchup isn't too bad. They went hard on Jordan Clark earlier on in the year. So I expect that to happen again. But hey, there's merit. And I know you're in a situation like this, Dano, but if someone has a lot of trades, I can see why you would jump off Luke Ryan.
I just fucking jumped on the mofo.
I know, and that's the issue for you. It's hard when you traded him in at 660-odd and he's dropped 40K and given you about 40 points in that 2 weeks and jumping off him. But I can see the winner doing something crazy like that and then in hindsight going, yep, I had Luke Ryan for 130 average. I jumped off after his two poor games, saw the change in game plan and jumped onto a POD. And we're going to give you plenty of PODs this week, ladies and gentlemen, because Paddo's pods are back.
Yep, here we go. We'll start with the injuries anyway. Before we do that, we're going to go with the injuries and suspensions. So first off, Christian Salem, knee listed as a test. Do we even need to go into that, Paddo?
Yeah, I mean, there's talk that it was tactical. There was talk that it was a slight knee. I'm led to believe it was more of a slight knee. He's been training okay this week, so he should be fine, but frustrating to get a 65 and a sub out in a bye round when you probably needed an 80 odd from him. But I mean, they nearly choked the lead, so.
Ivan Soldo, knee 3 to 4 weeks. So, what does that mean for Jordan Sweet?
Yeah, should get the job full time. I know people are a bit frustrated with the whole Sweet debacle when he played and he was a great rookie, but then he was ill and all that sort of shit. And certainly not setting the world on fire. He had a 55 and was apparently injured. Was he subbed out? No, he wasn't. Anyway, should be good for Jordan Sweet.
And then we'll probably get some comments saying, he's fucking injured, you idiots. Anyway,
Well, he's
Tom
not in the
Lynch.
injury report, so fuck you.
Tom Lynch, Samson Ryan, both done. Surely there's some of those 102K players. And I'll say freaking, what's his name that I mentioned about you, but you said he wasn't playing anyway. Dylan Grimes as well,
Yeah, so
gone for the
Dylan
year.
Grimes has been put on ice for the year. He's been dealing with a back problem. Hope
Yeah,
that's not
back
the last.
surgery.
Yeah, so I hope that's not the last we see of him because he's been a champion of the club. They reckon it's 1 to 2 with Tom Lynch. I'll be surprised if he plays for the rest of the year. They're very much in tank mode now.
Yeah, gotta be.
So one of those young guys have to come in, whether they swing Noah Bolter back forward or whether they bring in Gray and then play Blight. Hopefully we see Blight. So that might be a nice 102K downgrade, but you're going in blind and there's actually a couple of options this week. So
Yeah, okay. We'll go with rookies anyway. The first one is
I
Billy
just,
Dowling. Oh, yep.
sorry, Dana, before
You
you go on to
fucker. You
that,
fucker. Okay, go on.
I saw this news after I did the run sheet.
Yep.
So apparently the best player in the comp left training early today
Is this back spasms?
with back spasms.
Yeah, from carrying the hopes and dreams of the Bulldogs faithful.
Yes.
We're talking about
Yes.
Marcus Bontempelli here.
We are.
Yep.
But the
You know what
last time
last
he missed
time?
training time, he dropped 150 odd.
That's it. I think it was 160 or 180.
Yep.
So wouldn't read too much into that for the moment. Anyway, we'll go back to rookies. So Billy Dowling, 123K mid forward. Minus 46 break even, 59 average on the bubble. I just want to see if he's named Paddo because I'm still questioning whether or not he's going to be in that side.
See, I'm the opposite. I think this is probably the best rookie option that is on the bubble this week. I think he's pretty nailed on. I think he's going to play. The role doesn't look great, but the role could change as well. They could get mathematically eliminated from finals, and all of a sudden he's getting midfield minutes, and it could be a nice little F7, M9 swing that you can loophole or bring on once you run out of trades in a couple of weeks, like I will, and I hope for the best.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm still just waiting for that team sheet name. Although in saying that, I'm going to talk about someone in a few moments' time where I actually traded them in with no fucking games played. But anyway, we'll go to Nathan Kruger, 123K ruck slash forward. He's got a minus 50 break even, 61 average. It all depends on whether or not the man can stay healthy. He's never played more than three consecutive games. Paddo.
Yeah, I don't know whether that's like at senior level or whether that's just like VFL and whatever. But yeah, the guy's body is not good. Hopefully, the 2 games and then the bye has done him well that he can at least play the next two. But Mason Cox is due back in the next 3 to 4 weeks anyway. So, not sure he's a great trade in. He had 76, of course, against Melbourne. We do backed up with a 46 against North Melbourne. And I brought in Kruger. No, I didn't bring in actually. I reversed that trade. But I was going to bring in Kruger for that North game and missed a 46. I thought it'd be a nice spike game, but yeah, not a horrible option if you need that swing. But if you got Luke Jackson, probably not worth it.
Yep. Colton Thulstrup, 153K forward, minus 15 break even, 52 average. Got a 70 last week, played in the mids, Paddo.
Yep, I think this is almost the pick of the bunch. He's a bit more expensive, so that is an issue. Didn't actually play midfield. He had 0% CBAs, but he played sort of wing,
Oh.
half forward-ish sort of role. So,
Yep.
look, it's not horrible. He'll push up into stoppage, especially when guys like Pickett are in the midfield or they're tagging with a Neil Bullen. That he'll come in and be that sort of extra stoppage guy that a lot of teams are doing. So he'll sort of start forward and then push into the midfield. So I really like it if you can afford it, but at this stage, the extra 50K is probably worth just getting a 1 or 2K guy, in honesty.
We got some one gamers, Pato. Actually, are we going to mention any of the blokes that were 102K and then were subbed?
No, because I'm fucking pissed off that I've got Jack Hutchinson in my team and I actually had his six in my 18. Makes me sick and I couldn't change it.
Oh, fuck.
But it was either him or Brown, and Brown was also the fucking sub, so.
Anyway, you could have done what I did. I'm going to jump to this bloke. Logan Evans, 102K defender, minus 20 to 7 break even, scored a fat ass 68 and honestly looked fucking good.
Are we ignoring Schoenmaker, who looked even better the week before?
I just said I wanted to jump to my boy.
Okay. No, Logan did look good. Started off kind of nervous, worked into the game, even got forward and nearly kicked a goal as well, which was would have been nice, but they lost by 50. So, in all honesty, like that's probably an 80 to 90 game in a game that's a bit closer
Yeah, he
where they
looked
didn't get
really
their
bloody
pants
good.
pulled down. So, it's really good. And Hinkley, as much as he is a clueless fucker, he said he looked really good and it looks like he belongs at this level. So I can't see them making that change, but at the same time, they lost by 50 and they're going to
Not
look to
his
make
fault.
changes. So who knows, really?
Yeah, when you're watching the game and all the commentators are raving about Logan Evans being the only shining light in their defeat, he did
Yeah, and
some pretty bloody good things.
Port Adelaide is actually a team that historically, under Ken Hinckley, has given these rookie guys a go. So probably a nice trading option if you need a defender. It's just he doesn't have DPP, which is a bit annoying.
Anyway, we'll go to Ari Schoenmaker, 117K defender, minus 36 break even, 83 average, Pato.
Yep, just from the one game. Looked really good against Brisbane. That was also in a loss. So just all
Remember?
about whether he's in the team, because Wanganeen-Molera should come back into the team, and obviously we'll see teams Thursday night. Hopefully he makes it. My gut says that they should just drop fucking Riley Bonner and have Schoenmaker play that role and then have Wanganeen-Molera also play off that half back line. But where that leaves one of their teammates as well, who we are certainly going to talk about, we'll see.
Yeah, juicy prospect, the one coming up. Anyway, we'll go to defensive primos. Pato's got his top eight, and no surprise, leading the pack is Nick Dacos. If you don't have him, fucking get him in.
Yeah, I mean, 76% of teams have him, so I feel like we don't need to talk about him.
Harry Sheezel, number two. Fuck yeah. That's all I can say about the Sheez, because he's just been so fucking good, even though he's playing more mid forward.
Yeah, his CBOs were actually down, I think, off the top of my head. Just fact-checking myself. Yeah, he had 24% CBAs against Melbourne, which was down from 48%. So I actually hope that role stays and we can get him as a forward next year. That would be
Yeah,
fucking slay. But
amazing.
oh, I can't believe I'm using that word or hearing it too much.
You might he actually, you know what the funny thing is, with the amount of defense that he played at the start of the year, he could be defender forward next year.
That would be sick.
Yeah.
But he's a great option this year as well, and it's still under
Correct.
600K.
Dan Houston, we do not have a problem picking him. Ha ha.
Definitely not, especially when he has St Kilda this week
Big
at Marvel.
180. Big 180 incoming.
Yeah, so he only had 107 against him in round 7 at Adelaide Oval, but I can see a GWS level score coming where he had 174. So he might fit, may or may not feature in our BC and C segment later. Spoiler alert, he will.
Jordan Ridley's listed as number four, and this one pisses me off, Pato, because he also hasn't cracked 100 for me. Fucker.
Yeah, that's a frustrating one.
I did the most two elite trades because the next bloke is number five, which is
So,
Luke Ryan.
just quickly with Jordan Ridley, I don't think this is a problem. West Coast played a ridiculously tall lineup on the weekend. They went with up forward, they had Darling, Oscar Allen, Jake Waterman, and Ryan Marriage, and they had Jack Hutchinson as the sub, and they are all key position guys, as well as Bailey Williams as the backup ruck, and Matt Flynn obviously was the lead ruck. So
Marriage isn't a key position.
He's like 194 centimetres.
Jesus Christ.
Yep. Maybe even more. He's tall.
Yeah, right.
So Jordan Ridley played on Oscar Allen, who is obviously pretty big and pretty good. So that won't happen every week. Like, it'll happen against Carlton, obviously, because they are massive, if I just look up when they play them. But not too many – they don't play Carlton for the rest of the year, and not too many teams have that three or four or five tall forward line. So I honestly think he's fine on the rest of the year, and he's actually got some really juicy matchups on the run home as well. So –
yeah, but yeah, Luke Ryan, I traded in Jordan Ridley and Luke Ryan 1 week after the other, and neither have gotten over 100. But Luke Ryan, you've got in brackets, roll red flag. But he's the number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
This is a big, big red flag, Dano. And I have four trades left, and I'm at fuck it mode. I am tempted to downgrade Luke Ryan to a POD defender, and upgrading Clayton Oliver to a primo mid.
Don't mind it. You need to try something.
I do, and having Luke Ryan won't help me pick up ground, but it will certainly help me make up ground or just flunk out. But at my rank, who gives a fuck?
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, Lukey Ryan is that number 5, and then Elliot Yeo is number 6, and you've got the injury history as a red flag there.
So, yeah, Luke Ryan has a break-even of 180, mind you, after a 35 grand price change on the weekend. Over the weekend. So he's going to plummet in price. He does have Richmond next week, so something to keep in mind after 197 against
them. Who does he have this week?
Sydney.
Who he shouldn't score too bad against?
I mean, it's at the SCG, so there's not as much room for the chipmark stuff, and they'll probably get their pants pulled down as well. So don't love it this week. He might score 250 in the next 2 weeks, and 200 of them might be against Richmond.
anyway, we got some PODs for the last two spots.
Yes, we do.
In the top eight. And one of them, I reckon, is a top eight one, and he's going to steamroll the rest of the year because he plays pretty much every game at Marvel Stadium. That's Jack Sinclair, who I'm trying to figure out how to get in, Pato.
Yeah, so this is probably who I would bring in if I was to trade out Luke Ryan. I'm really big on Jack Sinclair, really big. So he's 581K, which is still really good. He's 6% owned, averaging 106. So, but in his last three, he's averaged 128, and his last five, he's averaging 119.
He's back.
So his last two games have been 0% and 0% CBAs, and then 48% in the 3 weeks ago. So that's your three round sample size. In his two games playing solely in defense, he has had 147 and 135. So if that's not enough to get your ears perked, I'm not sure what will. The only potential, I'll call it an orange flag or a beige flag, with the makeup of this team, I don't know what's going to happen. So they're mid. So they've got Paddy Dow as an injury cloud, shock horror, and they've got Brad Crouch, who's had a knee setback, shock horror. So there are a couple of midfields possibly down this week. I don't know what that means for Sinclair. They've also got Jimmy Webster to come back as well. He's a test for this week, who is another defender. They've also got Nasiah Wanganeen-Malira to come back into the team, who missed last game with personal issues. So someone's going to come out of that. So whether they drop Ari Schoenmaker, whether they drop Riley Bonner, whether they just move Jack Sinclair back into that midfield, I'm not sure. In saying that, he still had pretty good games as a midfielder, but we want him in the halfback. We want him at halfback.
Yeah.
But in saying that, I'm really big on Jack Sinclair. They've said that he's back in the defense pretty much permanently now. It's Ross Lyon, though, so take that.
Yeah.
However you want, but yeah, Jack Sinclair is my number one POD in defense.
Now, with the Hawks flying, James Sicily is another POD, Pato, that we can discuss because he is a former top, what, three defender? Three, four?
Oh, he's been, proper primo tier.
Yeah, and they are looking fucking good. I'm surprised he's actually averaging over a, like just on 100, like 100.3. And he really loves playing the Eagles, who he has this week. But here's his last lot of scores since here's what he's been scoring since round six. So round six, 100, round seven, 105, round eight, 109. Then he goes to round 11, 115. Then he has a little bit of a drop off with an 87 and a 98. But then he got a big 147 against Richmond. So he has a nice, juicy run home. Fucking Hawthorn are
Very
going to make
juicy.
finals because he's got the Eagles this week, even though it's at Optus. He's also got Adelaide coming up. Yeah, and then the last two games of the season, he's got Richmond and North Melbourne. Juicy.
Yep. So James Sisler is the other one that I'm contemplating trading Ryan to. So priced at 544,000 with a break even of 71. He will obviously smash that this week. 9% owned, so we're at POD territory. Just falls into that. 3 round average of 111 and a 5 round average also of 111. I think he's fixed the floor games. He's had one really bad floor game, and that was in round one against Essendon, where he had 43. But other than that, all his scores have been fine. And he's got a high ceiling, really high ceiling. So I like Sicily. His scoring has coincided with them doing well in games, either winning or losing close games. So something to keep in mind, the run home is juicy. And he's not the only hawk that we're going to talk about by
Yeah.
the way. But yeah, Sicily, I think, is a great POD option defense.
Yeah. I'm just going to look at something right now because what I'm doing is I want to look at Ed Richards. Now, did he get subbed out in round 11, Pato?
Didn't he have
Yes, he
concussion?
did. Yeah. He got subbed out in round 11. Yeah.
Yeah, he
Cool.
had concussion.
Okay.
He had a like a
So
head thing.
you take away the concussion in round 11, he's gone round 9, 163. Albeit against Richmond, round 10, 118. Take away round 11 because of the concussion. Then you go all the way to round 14, 115. So those three games where he wasn't concussed, huge scoring. And with
Mind
the
you.
rumors
Mind
about.
you, Dano, the 77 was in half a game.
Yeah. So Ed Richards, strong POD territory. I don't know what his ownership is.
1.8%.
Fucking, yep, fucking nutty. I don't mind that one. And I know that we got guys having a look at him too
Plays
during the
North
top
twice on the
100.
run home and will not get the Will Phillips tag, sharing a midfield with Bontempelli and Libba and Treloar.
See, I actually don't mind this trade in.
DPP as well, which helps.
Correct. And our mate, Peter, at the Nerds for Life Supercoach. His strategy at the moment is to bring in DPP defenders because they're scoring way better than the primo mids at the moment because they're too up and down, which makes no sense in previous years, but this year it does make sense. Got guys like Ed Richards, then you got like fucking who else is there? Dacos, Sinclair. Those guys are looking like they're going huge ass scores, and then you got fucking Tuke who can't break 100.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what are your thoughts? Because
I thought it
sorry.
dropped out.
Yeah, I think you dropped out then, but we'll keep going, Bado. I'll
So,
edit that little bit of air out.
yeah, 1.8%. So it's Ripper POD territory there. The roll's really good. It's just a Bevo. It's fucking Bevo.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. Fucking Bevo.
But I like the DPP strategy. I think it's pretty important, especially if you're really low on trades, just to be able to move things around.
Yeah, just to save on time, I'll just rattle off the last four names, Pato. So you've got down here Will Powell of the Suns. Don't mind that one at all. Although they're sharing the ball around a lot, so I don't think that he'll have that ceiling that we want. Trent Rivers, interesting shout, Pato. Do you want to quickly elaborate on him?
Yep, 80% CBAs in round 15 with no Petrarca. Very much looks like he's going to be that main guy that benefits from a rise in CBAs. Really good price of 451K. Not DPP, though, that is a problem. But if you need a cheap guy, I think Rivers is your man. He's risky, but he's in 0.5% of teams.
Yep, that's fair. And then Jaden Short, we've got there. Anything about Shorty?
Yeah, he's had a really good last few weeks playing that role. With the Dan Rioli rumours, I think Jaden Shaw will step up and take the lion's share of kick-ins and all that sort of stuff. Nice cheap option at 408K.
Yeah. What are his last lot of scores just quickly, Paddo? He's had two
116 and 103 in the last two.
Yeah, cool. Don't mind that shout there, Paddo. And then the last one's budget, Colby McKercher, but every week they say he's coming back and then he doesn't play.
Yeah, well, he played three quarters in the VFL and had 30-odd touches. Three-round average of 109 before his foot injury, 379K DPP as well. I think this is a really, really good option. People are going to be burnt off by the fact that they have traded him out and then in and then out, and it's a bit of a nightmare. But if you haven't been caught up in that hoo-ha, I think is a really good option. His three games post-injury in defense with no Sheasel were 102, 135, and 91.
Yeah. We'll move on to the midfield, and we're going to rattle these names off and just quickly explain, because we want to more so go into the POD. So, first of all, number one mid, Bontempelli. Do we need to say anything more there, Paddo?
Nope.
Number two, Caleb Sarong on the run home. Anything else we need to say about him other than he's fucking jet?
Nope.
Okay, number three will probably not shock too many people because we spoke about his run home, Zachy Merritt. So he's run
35 in a tag, so don't worry about that.
Yeah, exactly. He's a fucking beast. So number four, who can't handle a tag, Zachy Butters. Oh, fuck. Yeah, so Zachy Butters in at number
four. He's got to stop fucking punching people, though.
Number five, Chucky Neal. Fucking love that man. Saved a few of my weeks. Now, number six, seven, and eight, Paddo, are going to shock people. I sound like a clickbait article. These last three guys will shock you. So number six, LDU for that.
So he's actually in the POD territory as well at 8.6% of teams.
Yep. Number seven is who we screamed not to trade last week because his run home is fucking juicy as shit. That's Tom Green. And what happened? 150 plus.
Yep. 2,000 people were crying in their own tears.
That's generally what they do when they cry. They cry in their own tears.
Yes.
Oh, shit. And then number eight, Connor Rosie. And I like the fact that you put this in there, Paddo, because I feel like that so, like, everyone should be trying to get this bloke in. He's so cheap.
Yeah, 100%. So in his 5 weeks pre-injury, he was averaging 117. Then went down with injury, had some low scores playing through it because that's what captains do at AFL level. His first game back was a 75, and then he's gone 111 against the Lions in a 50-point loss. So I think this is prime trade-in target. 410K, Dano. He averaged 115 last year or something like that. It's 190,000 less than his starting price. So he started at 600K. And with Butters prime target number one for a tag every week, I think it's Connor Rosie that's going to step up in his absence and average 120 for the rest of the year.
Huge call. Love it, though. Now, PODs. The number one POD that you've got listed down is Josh Dunkley. And I can understand why, because he's a little slut. Why Josh Dunkley, Paddo?
So quietly going about his business, averaging 113. I think Brisbane are going to come home strong. Their run home it doesn't scream off the page, but it's not horrible. And it's Dunkley, and he's really good. He had 144 on the weekend. Just the 90 against the Saints matched up against Jack Steele, but yeah, proven performer. Brisbane are on the run home. Most of their games, more than half of their games on the run home are at the Gabba as well. Plays Melbourne this week, and he should have a nice, juicy score. He only averages 116 against them on his career, Dano, no biggie. And I think he's a really great POD.
Yeah. Next one we got is Rory Laird. So he's 528K. Against Sydney, he got a big 141. The only problem is the man cannot string two tons together since his essential role change at the start of the year after the first four rounds. Is he back, though? Because some people like Laird is back after that 141, but I remember in round seven, After scoring a 74, he got a 149 then, and then dropped down to a 98. So, thoughts on Laird?
All about the CBAs, and we actually want less CBAs with him so he can play halfback where he is 120 scorer.
Okay. Fucking, this is hilarious. Adam Treloar, and then Paddo has, in brackets, major injury red flag.
I didn't want to put him in there, but I have to because of what he's averaging.
Just admit. And I remember when you told me, ew, yuck, I fucking should have just done it.
So 2% ownership, averaging 116. Pretty consistent as well. Hasn't dropped below 91 for the year.
And that was in round one.
16,000. So he's not cheap. And we know what his hamstrings are like. But he does play North twice, of course, for the rest of the year because he's in the same team as Colby McKercher. Yeah, probably not a tag risk either because he plays with the best player in the comp. So,
yeah. Who else we got? So Will Day, here's the one. Here is the one, Paddo, the ultra POD. I don't know what the fuck he's up to now, but he's a fucking jet and he is at 2.4% ownership, Paddo.
Yep.
At 576K, and that price is justified.
Hasn't dropped below 100 since round 10, where he's gone 142, 117, 107, 137, and 100 in a nice matchup against Richmond. So that was random, but good run home as well, West Coast this week. I mean, we know how good Hawthorn's run is. 576,000, so he's not cheap, but 2.4% owned, 97 break even, and should have a nice 140 this week against the Eagles.
Yeah. Noah Anderson. We've spoken about Noah Anderson like every second week, so I feel like we don't have to talk about him again.
Yep, 5% owned, so nice POD.
Yep, Andy Brayshaw doesn't have the ceiling anymore, but he's been oddly consistent, Paddo.
Didn't he have a big game on the weekend?
I actually don't know. But I know before last game, he didn't have the big ceiling. He was just
he had 134 on the weekend.
Still not a huge ceiling.
Yeah, but I feel like his CBAs went up by memory.
So do you reckon this coincides, hang on, with, nah.
No, it hasn't.
So
it hasn't
he had a really bad run of three games there. Yeah. Not great. Timmy Taranto. Remember when Timmy Taranto came back and I'm like, oh, fucking tempted. He's been good.
Yep. 0.9% of teams with a break-even of 84, 564,000. It takes wheelbarrow nuts to do this, but he has scored really well if you take away his round zero game against Gold Coast, where he scored 49. But other than that, he's gone 105, 100, 128, 92, 105, and 139. He's the only dude in there, and I don't even think teams will bother tagging him because that's how shit Richmond are. So
that round four was injury affected too.
Yep.
That 92. So
he still had 107 minutes. So
yeah, but he had a hampering injury.
He did a rib, so it's not even a soft tissue injury.
A rib.
A wrist.
I was going to say, I was like, wasn't it?
No, it was like a hand wrist injury. So it wasn't a soft tissue injury.
Too much wrist twisting like a stir fry. Fucking love that song.
Anyway, I think Taranto is a nice, decent option. The only issue is Richmond are in tank now mode, so he may get rested, so to speak, against a North Melbourne or something to make sure we don't win that game. So something to keep in mind. I think it's the same with the Ruckman, who we'll talk about soon. But
yeah, James Rowe.
I think it's good. Yeah.
What's a go, Paddo? Because he is not on my radar in the slightest.
I'm trying to find where he is.
Because he just had one really big game.
Yeah, so he's got a three round of 114 and a five round of 106 in just 1.3% of teams. He's the guy that's been tagging. So the really hard tags, his scores do go down. So, for example, round 11 against the Bulldogs where he went with Bontempelli, he had 61. But against the Giants, he had 163. It was a little bit more free. He didn't really play on Tom Green like I expected. And he had 51 against Essendon around two while he was following one Zachary Merritt around. So the bad scores are there, but it's not a horrible POD, I don't think. The only potential beige flag there as well is that Callum Mills is coming back, and we don't know where Callum Mills will play because he can play anywhere.
Yep. And then the last one after, and these are the moves, right? These are the moves where that it can make your season. And it's Georgie Wardlaw.
Could also break your season.
Yeah, true. But usually, like the last 5 to 8 games of a year is what I use as my data points to see whether someone's going to break out the next year. And this dude has it. He's gonna be one that I'll probably end up picking next year, as a breakout contender. But I feel like he's doing it in front of our eyes right now.
Yeah. So who does he play a lot like, Dano?
Callan Ward back in the day.
A bit newer. We've mentioned him
Old
a couple of times this year.
fashioned. Who the
He
fuck's
wears
old
black
fashioned?
boots, likes the white stuff up his nose, so they can't.
Oh, Clary.
Yeah, so they're basically carbon copies, right? So Clayton Oliver played 13 games in his first year for an average of 70. In his second year, he played 22 games and averaged 112. And
What you're saying is bring him in.
I'm following, if he follows a similar trajectory, I think Wardlaw could be a great option for the rest of this year, but also to start next year. Now, he doesn't have Max Gawn slamming it down his throat. So that is, you can't hold that against Wardlaw, though, but he's still getting his points. And look, it's a risk. And I don't want to say everyone should drop everything and bring him in this year, but do not be shocked if he finishes the year from this point on averaging 110. And it'll just, yeah, keep him on your radar for next year, probably, unless you're a North fan and you really like Wardlaw. I mean, it's just a shame his price will be about 550 probably by the end of the year. So he's kind of left it a little bit early for his run. But yeah, huge breakout contender for the rest of this year and on to next year.
Moving on to Rucks, we'll rattle off the first two, Gawn and Grundy. Don't need to talk much about them.
Yep, R1, R2.
Timmy English, do we need to really talk about him?
2.5.
Rowan Marshall, big letdown.
Yeah, but the run home is ridiculous.
Yeah,
Port
he's terrible.
Adelaide this week. Sydney is a tough run, but then Adelaide, West Coast, Essendon. Brisbane's a tough game, but Richmond, Geelong, and Carlton. So,
He'll play well
really.
over that stretch and then get that trade to Geelong. Paddo's PODs. So Tom De Koning, everyone that traded him in and then put the VC on him last week, fucking well done.
What? I just quickly, quick tangent here. It's fucking something weird about twins. And I'm sorry if there's any twins listening that might get a bit weird about this. I don't mean it as an asshole, but why did whatever twin coaches Collingwood, Geelong, decide to take his best fullback and play him in the ruck just because he's against his twin brother?
He actually said that he was going to be doing it anyway.
Oh, of course. Just waited until he played against his twin. Fucking twins. Anyway, he's got a 3-round average of 154, if you don't mind.
Jesus.
5-round of 124 in just 5.6% of teams. Still priced at 589,000, which isn't too bad. Pitnet is the problem. And Pitnet could even come in this week to help him against Nankervis.
I
But
don't think he will.
fuck me. Fuck me. You can't drop De Koning from this ruck one role.
I think that they've found their sole ruck and Pitnet will go back to being what he was originally.
So if you had the trades, would you go Gawn down to De Koning?
Well, I wouldn't be trading Gawn or Grundy.
True, but if one of them went down, Tom De Koning's trading option number one.
Oh, fuck yeah. 100%. I don't
If you
really want to
had
talk about the next two.
Tristan Cherry, would you trade him to De Koning? If you had the trades?
Oh, fuck yeah.
For 12K?
Fuck yeah.
Because there'll be people, well, he's in 11% of teams, so that's a lot of people have him. What about English Dano? 22% owned. 571. So it would cost people 18 grand to go from English to De Koning. Would you do that if
If
you
you
had,
if
say, six, eight trades?
if it's a luxury trade, fucking go for it.
Yeah. That's the sort of shit that like just shoots you up the rankings.
100%.
If you have trades.
The last two I don't really want to talk about, Pato, because I feel like it's hard the ruck line because you only got three spots.
Yeah, I mean, Sean, we'll quickly rattle them off. Sean D'Arcy could be a nice, fun one. 0.3% owned, 546K. Toby Nankervis probably isn't worth discussing, but just quietly, the fourth best averaging ruck for the year in just 1% of teams, and it has a 3-round of 131.
Nice.
Not bad.
Nice.
All right, forward line. This is where it gets fun.
So forward line, we'll just rattle off the first three. So Flanders, Heaney, Zorko, easy. I'm going to put Fisher in at number four. Now, this is where it gets all over the place. I would have put Rankin in there, but you've put him as a POD.
I dropped him down because he's only in 6% of teams.
So Flanders, Heaney, Zorko, Fisher. Then you've got Luke Jackson.
Yep.
Then Charlie Curnow.
Yeah.
To round out your six.
Fair. So Jackson's purely for the ruck swing. I think that's really valuable. Currently the fifth highest averaging forward, even with those sort of low scores. And you take the good with the bad with someone like him, but keep in your mind that it's ruck cover if someone were to go down for a week. So that's what you've just got to keep persistent with. Charlie Curnow, I think, is amongst the top five averaging forwards on the run home.
Oh, heck yeah.
91% average on the year. But a really juicy run home, which includes Richmond this week. And if Noah Bolter plays forward, that should be a nice, big, juicy score.
All the free kicks.
Well, every week he gets a lot of free kicks from 10 metres out, so it'd be pretty hard not to average 105 from here on in.
You know it was dirty? Me celebrating when Curnow got fucking free kicks and having easy shots at goal. I felt like a Carlton fan, even though I fucking hate Carlton. Oh, Jesus.
So Rankin could be absolutely in both of these categories. He'll be in that top six averaging group.
We'll go to the PODs. So Rankin was the first one. Now, here's where it gets fucking weird. I'm going to put like the obvious one Moore in the second lot of PODs, Dylan Moore. But then you got Joe Danaher, Paddo.
Yep. So Moore, obviously, that fixture is great.
Yep.
I think he could sneak into that group. Joe Danaher has been great. He's averaging 91 on the year, ninth highest averaging forward for the whole year. Three round of 108, five round of 107. Has big games as well, which is really nice. Has Melbourne this week, which is probably considered a tough matchup. But if Nathan Kruger can score 80-odd against their defence, then Joe Danaher can beat that. Then the rabble of Adelaide, then West Coast. Sydney's obviously tough, but Gold Coast without Gold Coast, St Kilda, GWS without Sammy Taylor, Collingwood, and then Essendon to round out the year. So it's a nice run home, I think, for a key forward. They're charging home. It's so competitive in that middle group. If you are umming and ahhing about two different guys and one of them is in the bottom four and another one is in this group of teams that have been lumped in that sort of 5 to 12 range, they're all fighting for finals. They are playing hard. Every second matters. They are going to be trying to get percentage. They will not back off the pedal. And that includes Hawthorn. Obviously, that includes Brisbane. Gold Coast are in that sort of group as well. So players from that team will be playing fucking hard for the rest of the year.
Yep. Jai Caldwell. So he had a pretty fucking good game on the weekend. He's been kind of hovering around the 90s. Can he do the breakout the last stages of the year?
He could, but the issue is Parrish comes back at some stage. And there has been a pretty direct correlation with Parrish missing games and Caldwell getting CBAs. So, look, the forward average isn't horrible. He's averaging 91 on the year, which is good for 10th. But he's up around 100 for his last three and last five and probably won't give you the spike scores that some other key forwards will, but he'll give you the consistency of a sort of 80 to 110 every week. And maybe people want that at their F5, F6.
Yep. You've said Harry Mackay. I think he's a miss now.
I disagree.
I know that Carlton have a really good run home, but I feel like it's Charlie Curnow season.
Yeah, I think they'll both average well. And if you can't quite get to Curnow, I don't think Mackay is a horrible backup.
You know who's better? Jeremy Cameron. Jeremy Cameron, 440K. I did say that he loves Carlton and he played well and he's got a juicy run home as well. I feel like it's been weird that key forwards generally don't score well, but a lot of the big key forwards like you, Charlie Curnow's and you, Jeremy Cameron's, all have a really nice run home suitable for key forwards.
The only concern is with Hawkins going down, does that mean Cameron plays closer to home? And
yeah, true.
Who knows what they do with that ruck setup?
Oh, hang on.
Reece Stanley was out injured, but then he played VFL.
Bear with me.
Was they've it got Shannon Neal.
That's who I was going to say.
Is a forward, but, you know.
He plays whenever Tom Hawkins doesn't. And
yep.
and he's the future.
Yeah, but it just depends on whether they need the star power of Jeremy Cameron up forward
Well,
because
no, last time
they're
they
dropping.
didn't, like Shannon Neal went and subbed in for Hawkins and kicked three snags playing close to home, and Jeremy Cameron ran up the ground.
Yep, but I like it at 7% ownership, only 440K as well.
Correct. Jai Simpkin, the next one, he's still cheap as fuck.
400K on the dot, pretty much 3% ownership, 3 run average of 98. Last two since that sort of predominant midfield role change is 129 and 114. I have concerns. He did miss last week with hamstring awareness, and he is old as shit.
Yes, he does have hamstrings.
But I did,
You should be
he's
aware.
aware of that. Yeah.
Yeah,
They were just making sure. But I think that, I forgot where I was going with that.
that's beautiful.
Oh, I
Anyway,
remember.
you're saying no.
So
Oh, yeah.
I mentioned last week that I think it's too risky at 360K, and I was willing to cop the price rise to just have another look. I think I said that 2 weeks ago. Then he missed with the hamstring, and we didn't talk about him because of that. But look, it's not horrible. I think Abs Magic brought him in, and still probably hasn't calmed down from that. And the run home isn't too bad as well. It's just about whether if they start getting smashed again and they're happy just to make sure they get a top five draft pick about whether he moves back into the forward line and gets 60s again.
Yeah. Shea Bolton, probably that F7 guy to rotate in just in case he has a spike game.
Yeah, 6% or 5.6% owned, averaging at 83, so it's pretty lackluster.
Yeah, it's not been great.
This guy goes on runs though. He's a real confidence player. I mean, all it takes is one big game, and all of a sudden, we could see a 3 round average of 130. That's how good he can be. So, look, it probably doesn't happen against Carlton, but we could see a little run against like Frio generally with some Port Adelaide or something, or even North, St Kilda, Hawthorn, and Gold Coast. So, he plays 4 weeks in a row to close out the year, and he'll be nice. So,
Why can't they just play him in the middle? Like more.
they do, and he actually scores less Supercoach in the middle.
So he doesn't get as much CBAs as what I thought he would.
No. And I want to see him and Taranto in there together a lot. Without Taranto just getting it and chucking it on the boot, which is so frustrating when he's usually got someone running on the outside of him that is a lot better kick, like Shea Bolton, like Liam Baker, like Dusty. A couple of decent kicks of the footy.
Yeah. Cozzy Pickett, we've also got here.
Yeah, probably more wishing this into existence than not. Because I did bring him in as my final forward last week. 36% CBAs in the first game without Petrarca after that 83% when Petrarca was subbed out. So we didn't quite see the CBA role that we were hoping because Trent Rivers got moved in there. So I think this is going to be a dud pick for me. Hopefully gets a couple of spike scores on the way home. But you never know. It could be matchup dependent and he could be all right.
Be honest, when he opened up with like the first goal of the game, I thought, oh, Paddo's gonna be loving life.
We didn't even see the game.
Yeah, straight away you went bang, and I'm like, oh, Paddo's gonna love it, and then nothing.
I was not actually not even watching the game or the scores because I went and saw Wicked, the musical in the city. So I was enjoying a little date night. So I didn't find out about Clary until about 10:30 when I was walking out.
Yeah, okay. Cheapy, Toby Bedford. Now, the tagging role, usually you'd be like, oh, yeah, tag is. It's not really a solid tag. It's like a run with. And when that player then goes to the forward line, he just roams the middle.
Yep.
And he is one of, if not the best runner at the Giants with the
Yeah, I
two-day
mean,
time trials and whatnot. So.
I guess it's more about whether or not the role continues when Cornelio's back, and I think he's due back soon, Dano.
Yeah, should be.
But gets lots of tackles, lots of possessions, obviously in that midfield role. Still under 300K. So if you're really strapped for cash, Bedford isn't a horrible option, averaging 87 in his last two.
And there is someone I want to mention that you haven't put down on the
Go
list,
on.
and that's Joe.
Joe Richards.
I was going to say Joel Marmer, but yeah, Joe Richards is back this week, Paddo, whether it's through the VFL or the AFL, but he is back.
Yeah, I hope so. I've held on to him.
Same. I've been holding on just for that F7 swing, because Shea Bolton sucks balls. Simple as that. So if Joe Richards comes out and scores 100, Paddo, just saying, viable option. He's only 200K.
He is.
Yeah. Anyway, question time. Fucking question time. I'm going to jump onto Facebook because I think that's where most of them are, Paddo. So much so, I have to filter it to all comments. So.
Yeah, we've got some inboxes as well.
Oh, I'll start with a comment. So Luke says, let's be honest, this is the only question that needs to be spoken about. Who do we trade the fake Primo to, Paddo?
You're talking about Oliver or Luke Ryan?
Luke Ryan. Sinclair.
Yeah, I like Sinclair. It doesn't make you a heap of money, but it'll make you a heap of points, I think.
Yeah.
And if you want a cheaper option, I really like Sicily.
Sisdog. Okay, we'll go to Nathan. So Nathan says, Rankin, Caldwell or Kerno for the last forward upgrade. Going Caldwell or Kerno allows extra funds to eventually correct Oliver. I think you just answered it there. I'd go Kerno.
Yeah, I'd probably go Kerno as well if you're turning Oliver into a proper primo.
Yeah, just for that. If you didn't have the Oliver worry, I'd be going Rankin. Yeah.
Yeah. Rankin's a great option.
Aiden says, I'll ask again, scrunch or fold? Personally, I fold. I scrunch.
I'm a folder.
Everyone that asks this question, I feel like I'm the only one that scrunches.
Yeah, you're a fucking weirdo.
How is that weird?
Some people just like to live a chaotic life.
Fuck yeah, it's called ADHD, mofo.
Fucking toilet paper.
Yeah, it gets up into all them nooks and crannies. Oh, fuck. Lloydie says, finished my team last week with Ridley. I've had to make one downgrade, being Pink out for a basement 102K mid defender rookie to allow my swing of McKercher to defense line if needed as my bench cover. Got five trades left. Forward line, Heaney, Zorko, Fisher, Sexton, Bolton. Do you think it's worth moving one of Sexton or Bolton to Caldwell / Kerno, leaving me with four trades for the year, or just wait? There's a lot to unpack there. So he's trading out. Oh, he had to make one downgrade already, being Pink out for the basement 102K mid defender. So he's got one more trade. Should he trade out Sexton or Bolton?
I would go Sexton to Kerno.
Yep. Okay. I traded Sexton out, but I have regrets. He played on the wing.
I feel like he gets dropped.
Yep. No, agreed.
Him or Jeffrey. But the usage is going to go down because Will Power's a lot better kick than him. And obviously Flanders, we'll see what they do with Flanders. He got moved into the midfield in the fourth quarter of their game, so we'll see if that continues. But, yeah, they're going to reshuffle things a lot.
Okay. So Liam says, I have Sexton at D6 and Fife F6. I plan on trading Fife and flicking Sexton forward. Thoughts on Trent Rivers in D6, leaving him with nine trades and a finished team barring carrying Oliver until next week?
Rivers is risky, but... big risk, big reward.
Yeah, fair. I think everyone's trying to prioritize getting Oliver out, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. Is he permanently injured? What the fuck happened?
Who? Oliver?
Yeah.
Nah, his brain's just fucking cooked.
Oh, okay. Tuning out for the year. Making himself cheaper for next year.
Yeah, and we're all going to get sucked in again.
Never know, preseason in Bali. Move on. So I personally wouldn't get Trent Rivers if you can afford. You've got nine trades left after trading out Fife. Yeah, fuck. I'd be looking to upgrade to a better defender, to be honest. But risk and reward. Here we go. Peter from Nerds for Life Supercoach says, how do I go back in time and not pick a bunch of spuds? Also, I'd love to get your thoughts on if you think I should go Clark and Fife out, being Jai Clark, for either Kerno F5 and 54K or Simpkin F5 and 108K.
I'd go Kerno.
Yeah. I feel like Charlie Kerno is the one that you got to do.
But if you work out how to go back in time and not pick the fucking Spud Farm, then let me know.
I want to go back in time and not pick fucking Luke Ryan or start him, then trade him out. Fuck. Not wait till he's averaging 128 and then trade him in for two sub 100 scores. So shit. Okay, I'm trying to get to your Twitter post right now, Paddo, because that's where all of the comments will be. Oh, here we go. There were no comments. Fuck yeah, Twitter. Fuck yeah. Let's go to the inboxes, Pato. Who we got?
So we have Tate.
Hey, Tate. Final trades, full team thoughts.
Oh, this is probably more of the private one. Shredding and Dunkley and Hutchinson for Draper and Boak. And
see, I feel like
I like it.
Fuck, that is a good projected.
Yeah, not bad.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a nice strong team.
Fuck.
And Revel is bench cover.
I have regrets trading out Nick Martin.
Nah, he's going to spud hard on the way home.
I hope so. I've traded him out. Yeah, that is a very nice team. Very nice. Oh, don't mind it. Although, how much money does he have left over? Oh, 10K.
Who needs money left over?
No, well, I'm just thinking who's around the 579K range? Who is around the 579K range?
579? I think that's just under Sinclair.
Oh, that's shit. Just having a look, quick squeeze now. Three round average, 579K. Okay, oh, that's so stiff. Jack Sinclair just misses out. He could get Will Day instead of Dunkley. I actually don't mind Will Day over Dunkley. He's already got Butters, so he doesn't need Butters. Who else is there? He's already got Yo. Does Jack Crisp? Jack Crisp is one that we don't talk about, Pato. I mentioned him as a
trading
option. The role's
going to change when Pendlebury's back, which is soon.
I feel like if you're playing that good, you just leave him there. Personally,
I'm not an AFL coach, so I'm not sure.
I don't mind it. Don't mind it, Tate. And then we got Dalla, who is a bloke.
Dalla the male, yes.
So Dalla has gone team with Kerno and Rosie trade.
Yeah, I think Kerno and Rosie.
Yeah, but who's he trading out?
Rife and Dempsey.
Oh, yeah.
And keeps the Brevinator as bench cover.
Yeah, you're going to need Kerno. Yeah, Kerno and Rosie. Yep, don't mind that at all. Yep, good shit. All right. Well, we're not called the Supercoach Co-Captains for nothing because every week we give you guys VC and C options to set your team apart from the rest. No Thursday night game, so we go to Friday. So Friday night, blockbuster game, Brisbane versus Melbourne, 10th versus 9th. You feel like Brisbane are going to absolutely maul the fuck out of these mofos. Chucky Neal.
Can I say Clayton Oliver because I'm trading him out?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Lockie Neal, Josh Dunkley. This should be a pretty one-sided game, so it's all Brisbane here.
What about Dane Zorko?
Yeah, Zorko isn't a horrible shout, I don't think. 116 against them in round 5 this year at the G, so plays a bit better up at the Gabba as well. So not a horrible VC, but I think there's a higher ceiling in games to come, so I wouldn't be touching this game personally.
Yeah, I know projected doesn't mean much, but he has a projected of 128, so.
Yep, but I think there's higher ceilings that you'd target for your VC.
Yep, Saturday's game. Especially if Bont does do what Bont does. North Melbourne versus Western Bulldogs. If Bont's not trained, you'll get a 160.
Yeah.
I feel like this game's going to be much closer than people realise.
Which one?
North Melbourne versus Bulldogs.
Yeah. North Melbourne could even win, but... Yeah, I think LDU goes big in this game.
Yeah, don't mind. Yep. Adam Treloar.
Tim English.
I hope Colby McKercher doesn't come back so Zachy Fisher keeps going well.
I think Fisher will still do okay. Like, his scoring will probably go down a little bit, but I feel like he still does okay.
Yeah. No one else?
No, not that one.
Ah. Sydney versus Fremantle, Pato. Juicy, juicy, juicy.
And so Heaney had a 118 against them earlier in the year. They seem to be targeting Chad Warner with the tag rather than Heaney. As I said, he was a bit of a fake primo. And off to Freo, if you believe reports. Grundy, I like in this game. Bit of an awkward matchup against Sean Darcy, but it is SCG Grundy, so that supersedes everyone, including Max Gorn.
Fun fact, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
There's only three teams. Sorry, the top two teams that Grundy scores against, the top team is actually Sydney, so he can't score against himself. With a 120 career average. And then the second highest is actually Fremantle with a 114.8.
There you go.
SCG Grundy.
So
God, I hope Luke Ryan actually does slut it up.
In a round nine mauling at the hands of Sydney, Caleb Sarong dropped 150.
I was up in Perth.
It was in Perth.
Yeah. Come on, Luke Ryan. Give me a 180. Just make me feel better. Fuck.
I
He
feel like
hasn't.
you want to see it before trusting him with the VC again.
Yeah.
But Caleb Strong, I think, is a nice VC option in this game.
Who else is playing good? Oh, you probably wouldn't. His break even's 1-8. Oh, no, that's Luke Ryan. Fuck. Sorry. I was looking at freaking Hayden Young, but I don't think you'd VC him.
But Jordan Clark owners, don't look at this.
Oh, that
63 in
went.
round nine and got tagged. I'm one of those people.
Yeah. I'll move on.
Yep.
Yep. Gold Coast versus Collingwood. I feel like this one is where you look very strongly at Nick Daicos.
Yeah, this is the juicy matchup for
Yeah.
me. 149 against the Pies last year. Sorry, against the Suns. He plays for the Pies. And 143 against them 2 years ago. So I think Daicos is a really nice option. I also think Flanders is a nice option as well.
And they play each other, which sucks.
Yeah, maybe it won't give you the ceiling that Daicos will. So I think Daicos is a really nice VC option this week.
Yeah, that's who I'll be looking at, Pato.
And if you're next to your phone, I think there's a really nice C option in this next game.
Adelaide versus the Giants, and I'm assuming you mean Tom Green.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't think anyone has the gonads to do it, Pato.
I do.
You do?
Maybe.
Well, his last three games against them, 134, 107, 111.
Probably prefer someone in the other Saturday night game, but should be nice.
Yeah. Anyone else in this game? I know Rory Laird, I think, scored well against the Giants. I can't remember how well. Oh, 151. There you go. That was in round 18, 2023.
The
Don't know
way
if he'll
they're
do it
going, you
again.
couldn't possibly captain or VC him.
No. Don't have the faith. Don't have the faith. No one else?
No.
No, cool. Okay. Geelong versus Essendon for the Saturday night game at the MCG. So not really the Cats home game, even though they're listed as the home team.
Oh, and don't you bet they'll fucking whinge about
Oh yeah, they will once they lose.
it. So he's been tagged the last couple of times against them, but Zach Merritt is a nice option.
Yeah, bloody oath. To be honest, that's all I can really say.
Ridley's not too bad of an option either.
As a captain, I don't trust him after last round.
Yeah, fair.
But I would love to see him go big.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. Sunday. Three games on Sunday. First one, St Kilda versus Port Adelaide. This is where your Dan Houston could come into play, Pato.
Absolutely. Yeah. Dan Houston, if you own him, is a great captain option in this game at Marvel. I think Connor Rosie's a nice option, and I'm not sure you can trust him with a C, but I think it's a nice option.
Yeah, if you got the gonads.
Jack Steele coming off a bye could be nice. I have a feeling last year off the bye, he scored about 150.
Yeah, right.
Just going to fact check myself there. He scored 85.
So, mind you, we're also getting into DPP territory shortly because after this round, we'll know the percentages of who needs to play what percentage because it's at the end of round 17. So, this round and next round, and then the DPPs occur after next round. And Jason Horne-Francis before last game was sitting on
He's not
30.
getting it.
He was sitting on 30% forward. And what did he do? He played a majority of the first bit of that game up forward because he was getting tagged like a little bitch. Ended up shaking the tag, came back into it. Good lad. But anyway, I just want to have the ultimate forward POD. I'm going to hold the fucker.
So
That's what I'm
if
saying.
you have Rowan Marshall, I think this is a great captain option as well.
Oh, yeah. But again, couldn't trust him at the moment.
I could. If I owned him, I'd be chucking the C on him with confidence.
Nah, I wouldn't. Anyway, 3:20 p.m., Richmond versus Carlton. This would be interesting. I want to see anyone have the gonads to put the straight C on Tom De Koning against Nankervis.
Intriguing.
Straight C. People trading him in and putting the VC on, that's a free hit. I want to see you have the balls to just do it straight out.
Send us your screenshots.
Oh, fuck. You'll go like 170. Just watch.
Yeah, but I mean, they've got Walsh, you've got Cripps, you've got
Oh.
Curnow. I think they can all go big.
Yeah, I kind of hope Curnow does. Kerno for a 200. Let's go.
Nick
Kerno's
Newman.
The type of guy that if it was VC-able, you'd do it.
Yeah, that's not.
Yeah, but he's not. Anyone else?
I mean, maybe Taranto, but no, this is going to be very one-sided.
Yeah. The last game, Eagles at Optus Stadium versus Hawthorn. Oh, I don't really like anyone. If you had Will Day and you were forced to captain him, yeah, but I think all the captains are gone now.
Sicily's a nice option too.
Not if they're running tall.
Yeah, so it could be the same as Ridley, where he just has a lower score because he has to play on a tall. But, yeah, I got an option for you in this game.
Jake Waterman.
No.
Oh. Who?
Harley Reid.
Oh, it's the equivalent to SCG Grundy.
Yep.
He's back this week, isn't he?
Yep.
Ooh. You know what would be cool if you did actually hold Harley Reid right and you just had him at F7 and every time he plays at Optus, you just put him on the field?
Well, it's just an impossible loophole. That's the problem, because they play Sunday Arvo every week because they suck.
Yeah, but that's the beauty of it. You put your other guy at F7, put the E on him.
I think they probably tag him anyway, honestly.
Yeah, fair. Anyway, Paddo, what's your Twitter handle?
At PAWTOSCCC.
Mine is at DANEOSCCC. We'll do a league and whatnot update next week. But yeah, we've kind of run out of time here. So
I'll be podcasting from out west next week, don't I?
When you say west,
far west,
like we're talking Western Australia,
Perth, yeah.
Oh, we're both going to Perth this year. See if you can find Harley Reid at Optus.
I'm actually happened to be there when Richmond play against Freo as well, so we'll be making a trip to Optus Stadium to see an AFL game. I've seen a Premier League game that, well, not Premier League, but I've seen Chelsea play there against Perth FC, but I'll finally get to see an AFL game there as when Freo smash Richmond. So looking forward to that one.
Yeah, sweet as. I don't even know if I said my Twitter handle.
At DANEOSCCC.
Oh, you said it for me. I couldn't remember. Yeah, follow us on Facebook, Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast, or it's just Supercoach Co-Captains there. So from us at the Supercoach Co-Captains, I'm Dano.
And I'm Paddo.
And this is us signing.
The fuck off. Bye-bye, byes.
Bye-bye, byes.